Speaking on this program is Mark Lance.
Psalm 34, a psalm that shows how good the Lord is. Every child of God should be able to say that God is good. God has blessed us so very much, and certainly more than we deserve, because rather we don't deserve a single blessing that God gives us. It's not because of our goodness that we receive the blessings. It's because of God's goodness. Let's read Psalm 34 again. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked upon me, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped around about them that fear him, and delivered them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth my many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Brethren, this should give us strength and encouragement as we know that God is there for us. God has not left us. God is there to bless us and help us. But now, we need to also notice in the psalm that God gives some conditions. Now, there are certain blessings that fall on the just and the unjust. The rain comes and it blesses everybody. It falls in all places. But yet there are certain blessings that are only for the child of God, those that are seeking God with all of their heart, not those that are living in living contrary and in rebellion to God's will. God doesn't bless them with His spiritual blessings. God doesn't give them the same promises that He gives His children. So, brethren, as we are God's people, we should take comfort and joy in that, and we should serve God knowing that He is the source of our blessings. But let's notice in the very first verse here, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times, not just on Sunday, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays. I will bless the Lord at all times. But he goes on to say, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Brethren, if we praise the Lord and use our lips to praise God and to teach those things that are good and right, wouldn't that stop us from using some of the language that we see? But now, here's one thing that's not unusual to see. Is somebody that will praise God in one moment and they're cursing God with the next, using God's name in vain. Well, that's not very consistent, is it? We must be those that praise God on a regular basis. And we should look forward to being at the services together in order to worship God and learn more of His will, to praise the One that has created us, the One that sustains us, the One that provides every need that we have. God is the source of all of our blessings. But brethren, let us use our lips to build up and not to tear down. But now, here's one thing that we sometimes see among God's people. Sometimes God's people tear each other down. Brethren, we should be those that build up the cause of Christ. Brethren, as God's children, let us use all of our talents, let us use all of our abilities, and let us use the lips that God has given us to praise Him and to build up God's cause. I think we would all agree there's enough bad out there. We need to be a light shining in this dark world that the world may see Christ living in us and they may see that there's a difference, not just on Sundays, but every day of the week when we go back into the schools, when we go back into the workforce. Let them see that God is living in us, and let us them see by the actions and by our lips that we are what we profess to be and that we are God's people. But now he also says, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Now here's a qualification, isn't it? The humble will hear the Lord. Those that are not humble, those that are arrogant and full of themselves, they're not going to listen to the Lord. They feel like the answer comes from them. Jeremiah said, though, in the long ago, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps. It must come from God. But in order to hear God and His will, we must be willing to humble ourselves. That's not a trait that many people have anymore. It's always boasting and what I can do and I did this. But brethren, what we need to learn as God's people, anything that we accomplish is because God has blessed us with it and God has given us the opportunity. Perhaps some of the things that we take for granted are some of the blessings of freedom that we enjoy in this country. Brethren, those are not like that in every single country. As we are worshiping freely this morning, you can't do that in every single country without being persecuted. Some people have to go underground to worship God because if they met like we were doing, they'd be arrested, perhaps beaten, and put in prison because they serve God. See, it's not friendly in every country to serve God. But he says, the humble will hear the Lord. He will hear His word. Now, I want you to stop and think about something for a moment. The humble will hear. But now, what does it mean they will hear? It doesn't mean just know that words have been been said. Anybody can do that and know, well, the preacher preached this morning. He said certain things from God's Word. Well, you heard the words. That's not what he's talking about here. This is talking about those that will humble themselves and not only physically hear the words, but they will obey them. They will submit to them. And one of the things that we discussed in class, I thought there were some good comments made, but how we need to build up and teach God's Word because Satan, our adversary, is out there as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But now here's one of the things that I see as a problem in the Lord's church. It's not as much that we can't know truth. Rather, we can read the Bible and understand it. The Bible was written to where we can understand it. God didn't write the Word in such a way that we can't comprehend it. And what I see in so many places, we know the will of God, but brethren, getting it beyond these doors seems to be a problem. And in the Lord's church, we would say, well, we don't have a pastoral system. What do we mean when we say we don't have a pastoral system? Well, a lot of people, when they meet me, well, you're the pastor. Not a pastor, but the pastor. In other words, you're the preacher, and therefore you oversee the church. Brethren, that's not biblical. That's not what the Bible says. And being a pastor means you're one of different ones. And God has commanded that elders, when they're qualified, and that was also discussed in Bible class, but they're to be appointed. But yet, while we teach that properly, are we guilty in some congregations of the Lord's church of actually running a pastoral system? I believe the answer to that would be yes. How do we do that? It's not to teach that the preacher is in charge of things, but it's to allow him, even though we have elders in so many congregations, it is left upon the preacher to be the pastor. He oversees things. Well, what's happening? What's going on? We got to ask the preacher. But you know, it is the elders that ought to oversee the work of the church. Now, the preacher has a work to do as a Christian and any other Christian would have to do. But his job is not to oversee the congregation. His job is not to oversee the flock. Now, sometimes you'll have a dual role. Sometimes people are preachers and elders. But, brethren, it is the place of the elders to oversee the flock. And one of the terms that also describes an elder is a shepherd. And we think back to the people such as David when he was a shepherd over the flock, over the sheep. But what does the Bible talk about when there's one sheep that has gone astray? You go look for that one. You even leave the 99 and go search for the one. Now, you don't just take the attitude as elders, well, they're gone. We've been missing that one, but we've been noticing they've been gone. No, you go and seek and save that which is lost. You go see what is the problem. But now here's one thing that happens. You know, somebody's missed a time or two, and you, if you're watching, you're going to see this. Now, you're going to know if somebody's had surgery, because that's going to be announced. You're going to see those things. But you also see a pattern when somebody starts missing. And if we don't oversee the flock and take care of those needs, what happens? You can go see them 6 months later. More than likely, you've waited to the point you will not win them back. Doesn't mean that you can't. But time is critical. A sheep goes astray. If you wait too long, the wolf will devour that sheep. And that wolf being Satan. And Satan, as we talked about in class, is very crafty and he is active. So we need elders that oversee the flock. Elders that are actively pursuing the Word of God. Actively overseeing the flock of God's children as they've been instructed. Also, we need deacons that are actively partaking in serving God and doing what God would have them to do. We have to humble ourselves in order to hear the Word of God. And in too many congregations of the Lord's people, deacons, that word has become a title. Well, what are you? I'm a deacon. Well, what's your job? I don't know. Nobody else knows. A deacon is a servant, a special servant, that's been appointed to do and to take care of some work. As we saw in the Bible class this morning, the apostles appointed seven men to watch. To have a title? No, to carry out a work to make sure that work was done. So there's different roles. Now the role of a preacher. Sometimes we see where a preacher comes in and he teaches false doctrine. Now, every man that stands in the pulpit should be sound, but you also realize it actually goes back to the elders to make sure that the flock is fed that which is sound doctrine. And if it's not, well, we can't worry about that. Well, somebody likes this man, and if he's removed, somebody's going to be upset. No, we must guard the flock and make sure that the congregation, the flock of God, the sheep, have been fed properly with God's Word. And that's critical. But now, also we find out by reading the Scriptures that every single member has a place, a role that they must fulfill in carrying out God's Word. And here's something that we need to know. It doesn't matter whether you're an elder, a deacon, a Bible class teacher, whatever role that you may play. Nobody can do your work for you. Nobody can do my work for me. The only one that can do my work is me. Now, my wife, she's a helpmeet to me as God has intended. But she can do her work. But the only one that can serve God in the kingdom for me is me. And me as a preacher or as an elder or one of the other elders, well, we can't do somebody else's work. And the church, if it's to function as it's supposed to, as God would have it, has every single person fulfilling their role and every single person doing what they can to build up the cause of Christ. But now we also see this right here in this psalm. It says, I sought the Lord and He heard me. When did God hear? And when He sought after Him, we'll stop and think for a moment. Well, God knows all. God sees all. Well, doesn't God see what's going on in our lives? Yes, of course He does. Can God help? Of course He can. But He says, He heard me, but He also says, I sought Him. I didn't just say, God, I've got a problem, and you know all things, you take care of it. No, He says, He sought the Lord. Now, what does that mean? There's an action upon our part that we must play. We must seek the Lord. We must put forth the effort to serve Him. We must actively seek to serve God. Now, how do we do that? That's not by just attending the services of God. And here's one problem that we faced in churches of Christ, and most likely we always will, but we want to overcome that with as many people as we can. We spend a lot of time in the church trying to get members to show up. You know, that really shouldn't be the circumstance, should it? That should be a given. Man, if I'm a Christian, I'm going to want to be there. But now here's what happens. If we're spending time trying to plead with members to come and actually to show up, here's something that's very safe to say. If that's the case, they're not out seeking and saving the lost. They're not out doing Bible studies. They're not out visiting the sick. Brethren, those are commandments, and we're spending so much time in the Lord's church trying to get the faithful to be faithful. And that should be a given, and they should also become teachers. They should also become workers in the church. It should be left up to no one person, but everybody fulfilling their role as God would have them to do. But He says, I sought the Lord, and He heard me. And sometimes we may find out, well, God didn't bless me with certain things I had need of. And the Bible says that He will take care of all our needs. But you have to remember that is conditional. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And He had just mentioned the necessities of life. Food, clothing, shelter, those things that we have need of. But see, He said, seek the kingdom first. Don't ignore the kingdom and think that these blessings are going to come. That's expecting something that God has not promised. He says, you put the kingdom first, and then these things will be taken care of. Then you won't have to worry if you're going to have these things. You will know that you will have them, because that is a promise to those that faithfully serve God as they should. But see, that's also one of the conditions that God has given us. He also mentions, and there's so many things in this psalm and that we won't be able to cover, but you want to cover some of the highlights and some of the major points that we can. But He says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Well, what about the man that doesn't trust in God? What about the man that questions God? Well, I don't know. God says this in His Word, but I'm going to ignore that. Well, that man's not going to be blessed. Why? He hasn't trusted in God. But now, how are you going to trust in God? First, you have to know what His will is. How could somebody even become a Christian if they don't know what the will of God is? That'd be an impossibility now, wouldn't it? But as Christians, we must know what God would have us to do as His children. Because here's one of the mistakes that's often made in the body of Christ. Somebody is baptized, and we rejoice as we should. God rejoices. The angels rejoice. But brethren, that is not the finish line. Well, I've been baptized, I'm on my way to heaven. Oh, the race has already been run. No, it hasn't. There's a lot of living to do between now and death. There's living to do between now and the day that the Lord comes. So you must trust in the Lord, but the only way that you can trust in the Lord is to know what He says. How do we know that? We spend time in God's Word. Now, I bet you a lot of you, if you're a sports fan, you could tell me who played football last night. You could tell me who's going to play football today. You could tell me what team's not still in the playoffs. You could tell what's going on. Why? Because you keep up with that. How do we know about the will of God? We must keep up with it. We must know what the will of God is. And too many times, God's people don't know what the will of God is, and they're dependent upon a preacher. You better hope he's teaching the truth. But brethren, it says, I trusted in the Lord, and the only way that we can trust in the Lord is to know what His will is, and to put it into our lives, and to practice it, and trust God that He will be God, and that He will provide every single need that we have. He also goes on to say, He says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. We could say prayer. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. What a contrast. The Lord hears, the Lord blesses His people. But now notice, who are His people? Not those that just were baptized and that stopped, but those that seek Him, those that do righteousness. Now that's not just on Sunday. You can't just serve God on Sunday and be considered righteous. It's an impossibility. If we're going to serve God, it must be all of our life, all of the time, if we're going to be righteous. But here's the promise. God says if you are righteous, if you serve Him as you are supposed to, He hears your cry. Now, think for a moment. Every single one of us, even if there's a non-Christian in here, in this audience, There is times in our lives that we need help. It doesn't matter who it is, preachers, elders, deacons, every single member, there's a time in your life that you need help. And the way that we receive that help is to serve God faithfully with all of our heart, and then He promises that He will hear our cry. Now here's what some find themselves doing. They have a need. They have a problem. God, help me. God, get me out of this situation. God, take care of me. And then God blesses them. God helps them. Well, they quit serving God. What do they want to do? It wasn't to serve God. They wanted God to take care of their problems, and then God, get out of the way. Let me live my life as I choose to live it. No, that's not the way that we serve God. We must live a righteous life, because He goes on to say this. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. It's not about just not receiving the blessings. He says, the face of the Lord is against you if you do evil. Here's something to stop and think about for a moment. When God says He's against us, brethren, we're in trouble. Because God is the one that created this world. He spoke it into existence. I do not want to be the enemy of God. I don't want to be on the other side of what God would have me to do. But the only way I can avoid that is if I put God first in my life. And if I'm not doing that, now, it doesn't matter if we wish it to be different. The fact is, if I'm not putting God first in my life, I have become an enemy of God, and the face of the Lord is against me. That's just a given. We may wish it was some other way. We may even convince ourselves, well, that's not the way it is. But what does the Word of God say? His face is against those that do evil. And God holds us accountable for our actions. We live in a society that doesn't want to be held accountable for any action. But brethren, we must respect the Lord. And He also goes on to say in the very last verse of this, He says, none of them that trust in the Lord shall be desolate. You put your trust in the Lord, you will have those things that you have need of. Not everything that you desire. But all of your needs will be met. All of them will be taken care of. But see, it is conditional upon putting our trust in God and following Him. Another problem that we face. Sometimes we can say the right words come out. But putting those words into action is quite a different story, isn't it? Because we can say the right words, but if our heart is not right with God, here's one thing we have to understand. We didn't fool God. We may have fooled some other people, and we may have even fooled ourselves. But if our heart is not right with God, we are an enemy of the Lord, and that's one place I don't want to be. Now, breaking down this passage into different sections, the first 10 verses, we can say, the Lord is good. And truly He is, isn't He? He takes care of us. He blesses us. And it says, He would magnify him and encourage him, but first, he must exalt the Lord. And I ask you a question this morning. Are you exalting the Lord? I don't just mean with the songs that you've sung this morning. By the life that you live every day of the week, are you exalting the Lord? Are you putting Him first in your life? And also, we learn through verses 11 through 17 that we need to learn to fear the Lord. And fearing the Lord is something that we need to learn to do. We need to teach our children, our grandchildren, to fear the Lord, because there is a price to pay for sin. Now, the price that we would want to have paid is the blood of Christ, but you must be covered by the blood of Christ. You must have been baptized into Christ and for His blood to wash away your sins. And God doesn't hold us responsible for those sins that have been forgiven. But even as His children, it is possible to once again, go back into the world and lose our salvation. Just because you once had it doesn't mean that you're always going to keep it. You must remain faithful. And the Bible is replete with passages that will teach this. Galatians 5 verse 4, if you're justified by the law, ye have fallen from grace. The Bible says that you can. Some men say that you can't. What does the Word of God say? But brethren, there's a lack of fear of God in our land, in America today, isn't there? Now, we look at this tragedy that happened in Tucson about a week ago. And we see that it's just sad that somebody would shoot a congresswoman, that would take the life of a 9-year-old girl that was doing absolutely nothing wrong. And we say, well, we're going to fly the flags that past staff today because of that, and we're going to pray and we're going to come together as a country. Something I give you to think about. How do you determine which life is valuable and which one is not? How do you do that? How do you determine, well, that congresswoman's life is valuable, and it is. How do you determine that the 9-year-old is valuable, and it is. But yet we can take innocent children, we can kill them and put them in a dumpster and say, well, that's okay, but hey, don't bring politics in. Is that the way that it works? There's no fear of God. There's no fear of God for the things that we have done. We must fear God. And we can't justify murder in any circumstances, not with a political position, not with anything else. Brethren, we have lost the fear of God in our land, and that is very dangerous. But now, have we lost the fear of God in the Lord's church? Not as a whole, maybe not, but certainly in some places, I think that's the case. Without doubt, it has happened with certain people. They have lost the fear of the Lord. Well, I live my life how I want to live it, and I expect to go to heaven. Now, you may live it like that, but you're going to be sadly disappointed on the day of judgment, because God is the one that's in control. It's not man. It's not man that sets the standard. It is not man that gives the rules. It is God that sets forth the rules. It is God that tells us how we must live. And brethren, if we're not living a righteous life, we may deceive ourselves all of our lives. But on the day of judgment, we will hear those words, "Depart, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you." But what about you? Do you fear the Lord? The only way that you can answer that in the positive, the only way that you can answer that by saying yes, is if you are serving God. Now, if you have not repented of your sins and confessed the good name of Jesus and been baptized for the remission of sins, you don't fear the Lord. And hell is your destination unless you do something about that. But now, as God's children, just because you once started faithfully does not mean that you're faithful now, does it? You must remain faithful, and if you stop, you must repent and ask God to forgive you. Now, if you'll do that, heaven will be your home. But let's make sure that we don't stop short of our goal. And brethren, our goal is heaven.